started to reprogram her mind with positive dominant thoughts and prepared her to pry her mind loose from the generational DNTPs that had crippled her mind. After her kindness assignment, healing her DNTPs with prayer and affirmation no longer seemed weird. Mickey accepted this so-called thought therapy and started to use the GOI tools and the process daily to create an amazing new life for herself. She realized that there was nothing that she could not be, have, or do once she got her mind right. Mickey was, in fact, truly joyous when we last hugged and kissed during the GOI class reunion. She reported that she had quit her good job and was doing design work full-time and that she had two assistants. Once I started working my GOI process, I felt like the spirit had blessed me with superpowers, Mickey said, laughing. Oh, so all of your problems and insecurities just disappeared? One of Mickey's classmates questioned. Hardly, Mickey replied. There was no magic fairy dust. The difference is that now that I'm familiar with the DNTP tools and process and I'm wide awake, now whenever I start to feel stressed or when I'm feeling upset over how situations are going or how people are treating me, I stop myself dead in my tracks and either do 5 minutes of conscious breath work or 5 minutes of the thymus thump to calm myself down. Then I pull up the list of 42 DNTPs on my phone and I speed read it. If I can identify the DNTP, because it's really obvious, I go to my daily practice outline and go through the steps. If I need more time to figure out my DNTP, my life preserver is the universal clearing prayer. Mickey was one of my first students to go through the entire GOI thought therapy process. Today, there are many more. The following stories relate to the GOI experience of several individuals who have successfully engaged in thought therapy. I'm hoping, after reading them, you'll be inspired to take a test drive. After all, what do you have to lose? The worst that could happen is that you try the process, it doesn't work, and you end up right where you currently are. If, on the other hand, you try the process and more light, more love, more peace, and a greater sense of well-being are facilitated in even one area of your life, then you will have no one to thank but yourself. That would make me happy and fill my heart with joy and probably yours too. So, read these real-life stories and give thought therapy a try. Know that there are many others on the GOI path cheering you on. Anxiety, worry, fear. It manifested as procrastination. At the start of our GOI focus group, I said that if I could get over anything, I'd want to get over procrastination. What kind of procrastinator was I? I was the kind who started things and then didn't finish them, or just took too long to finish them. I'd get excited about doing a project, and then somewhere along the way, I'd drop it and make excuses as to why I didn't have time to complete it. I was inconsistent in multiple areas of my life, and that was very frustrating for me and for everyone around me. I wanted to be able to follow through on things and be dependable, but for some reason, I'd wait until the last minute to tackle things that I knew about way ahead of time. It seemed like I wasn't fully involved until I was just about to miss the first deadline. Sometimes I got stalled due to a lack of clarity, and that kept me from moving forward. Other times I got flooded with so many thoughts whirling around in my mind that I couldn't take action. And then sometimes I'd write out the list of notes for myself, and I'd follow my list somewhat. But as I kept adding more and more items, I found myself stuck in a big ditch of overwhelm. Then I tended to, one, do nothing. Two, do only part of what was required. Or three, wait until the very last minute to get started and completely miss the deadline for what was supposed to be done. What I really wanted to do was to get unstuck and move forward with the joy of completion and consistency. Then I could live my life on purpose instead of always having to make excuses that disappointed other people and myself. So just what DNTP was in charge of my procrastination show? Some friends asked me whether I was afraid of success or afraid of failure. When I reviewed the DNTP systems for failure and frustration, they didn't ring true for me. However, when I read the explanations under anxiety, worry, and fear, I could see myself clearly. Once I confirmed that my number one DNTP was anxiety, worry, and fear, believe it or not, I started to feel better. There was a lot of relief in knowing that if I was a prisoner of procrastination, anxiety, worry, and fear were my handcuffs. The GOI definition of anxiety, fear, worry felt very familiar to me. Complete overwhelm, an inability to face or handle what may be required. The feelings presented in the In Other Words section sounded exactly like my real life experience. You feel as if you're about to jump out of your skin, and you're not sure why. Your imagination is running wild about what happened or may not happen. The sense of being out of control and anticipating harm causes you to procrastinate or hesitate. And of course, I had my own internal dialogue lines that paralleled the ones in the DNTP list. Did I turn off the stove? Does my boss hate me? Did I finish the report in enough time? Because I was late for the meeting, everybody thinks I'm incompetent. On day one, my intensity level for anxiety was an 8. I thought it would be a 10 until I realized that I didn't have any pressing deadlines at work that day. I bookmarked my thought therapy prayer and affirmation, used the conscious breath work when I did the silent prayer, and used the thymus thump when I spoke the prayer and affirmation aloud. Whenever I repeated the thought therapy affirmation throughout the day, I used the thymus thump. I was slightly nervous to measure my evening DNTP intensity level, but I was pleased to see that it had decreased to a 4. On day 2, my intensity rating started at 5. I repeated each of the steps in the GOI process and recorded my affirmation on my cell phone because a friend had mentioned that if you record an affirmation and play it back in your own voice, it's much more effective. There was something very empowering and healing about hearing my own voice speak the words of the anti-anxiety affirmation. Boldly, I stand in the peaceful freedom that dissolves all anxiety, confusion, worry, and fear. When an unexpected deadline was sprung on me, I used my affirmation and conscious breath work to shift my discomfort. Was it my imagination, or did I finish the assignment ahead of time? My first venture into the GOI practice did require a few adjustments. I had to remember to do the sequences at the prescribed time. If I did the morning and forgot the afternoon, I'd continue the process for the rest of the day. However, when I followed the daily practice regimen, each day at the prescribed times, I could feel a big difference in how my day played out. When I woke up on day 4, I felt like a huge boulder had been lifted from my shoulders because my DNTP intensity had been reduced to a 2. It was the first time in a long time that I didn't feel like jumping out of my skin when I was faced with multiple deadlines. I decided to continue working with what I call my anti-anxiety thought therapy process for 7 more days. Over the next week, I found I gained a lot more confidence in myself, and I didn't get as anxious or fearful when I had to make important decisions. My intensity levels fluctuated a lot over the week, but every evening, the numbers steadily decreased. I also noticed that I no longer overreacted when other people around me started to get upset. No matter how my day went, I always made sure I used the thought therapy energy clearing tools, conscious breath work, thymus thump, and eye therapy eye movements in the evening or whenever I experience an anxiety signal in my body. I can now recognize the early signs of anxiety, worry, or fear as distinct energies in my body. This is a new experience and huge help because it allows me to identify the problem early on so it doesn't spiral out of control and leave me paralyzed or incapable of completing what I set out to do. Since I started using thought therapy, no matter what was going on at work or what I need to accomplish, I have some tools that will help me clear my obstacles. I keep my daily affirmation posted on a sticky note at my desk so I can read it while talking on the phone or whenever I start to feel anxious. Now, my coworkers want to know why I am more productive these days. The GOI thought therapy process has been a game changer in my life. Now that I'm aware of my procrastination triggers, I can immediately reel them in with my thought therapy tools. I've noticed that all of this has made me much more confident in my decision making. I guess because my hidden DNTP is no longer running the show. Doing thought therapy has been a very healing experience. I'm not the same person. I am, in fact, ready to take the steps required to move my life forward in a new direction. The GOI experience has opened up new spaces in my life, especially in my side hustle, the wellness business that I want to start. I'm getting more orders for my bath products every day, and I'm excited about that. I no longer count myself as a procrastinator because thought therapy has neutralized my number one DNTP. The result? The procrastinator has become an entrepreneur. Anger, rage. Anger dishonors you. How do you get over loss? My sister, who was always my best friend, died unexpectedly on Mother's Day 2 years ago. I still haven't come to terms with that. I haven't spoken to my eldest son, a soldier deployed in Afghanistan, in more than a year. But my most devastating loss occurred recently, when my husband of 15 years confessed that he's addicted to having sex with prostitutes. After we sought marriage counseling together, he announced in June that he's leaving me for another woman. This train wreck has been the most nightmarish experience of my life. On some days, I thought the horrible pain and emptiness that was eating me alive would never go away. In fact, I felt paralyzed until I joined the GOI focus group. Iyamla made the thought therapy process sound so simple. First, we would read through the master list of DNTPs and identify the descriptions that sounded most like us. Our feelings would be mirrored back to us in other words section, and the internal dialogue section would reflect the thoughts that race around in our heads all day long on repeat. Then we would identify the DNTP that we wanted to clear. As I read through the list, I hovered over the DNTP for grief. I was indeed consumed with intense emotional suffering caused by loss, disaster, misfortune. The loss of my sister to cancer, the estrangement of my son, and the tragic end of my relationship with my husband, they all qualified as intense emotional suffering. Was grief what I was experiencing? I identified with two descriptions. Do you feel depleted and doomed? Do you feel robbed of a sense of meaning and purpose? Do you believe that nothing matters anymore, or say to yourself, I just want to die? Given the trickiness of our subconscious minds, what was the best way to identify our top DNTPs? Iyamla told us to ask ourselves, what do you want? That forced introspection unleashed a flood of uncensored thoughts, emotions, and journal work. What I wanted most in life was to have a fresh new start. I wanted to take back control of my mind. I wanted to stop complaining about my problems. I wanted to stop letting my problems define me. as I was about to settle on working with grief, another DNTP kept whispering to me, betrayal. The DNTP definition of betrayal fit perfectly. Violation of integrity, broken trust, deception, disappointment of hopes or expectations, and the in other words section wouldn't stop ringing in my ears. Someone you trusted and cared about threw you under the bus and then backed up over you. The internal dialogue words were also on point. I trusted them, and they lied to me, they exploited me, they deceived me in every way possible. When I began to examine my betrayal intensity level, it was off the charts. It was a 10. But Iyamla had reminded us that if a DNTP intensity level was higher than a 10, it was still a 10. She also emphasized the importance of calming down your nervous system if your intensity level was above a 10. I experimented with using conscious breath work while I asked myself, what do you want? Then, on one long explanation, the answer rushed out. I don't want to be in constant rage. I'm tired of being angry all of the time. Even as I acknowledged my husband's betrayal and my anger, the thought that kept popping back into my mind was that underneath all of these thoughts and emotions was a well of unexpressed grief. I knew intuitively, though, that if I was to ever get over my grief, I had to first express my anger. That reflection sealed the deal for me. Anger and rage would be the first DNTP for me to focus on. After all, it was a 10+. Iyamla acknowledged that even though my husband's betrayal was a radioactive issue for me, based on my original story, I may benefit most from working with my anger and rage, that it might be the master key that would unlock not just one door, but many doors. With my intensity level in hand, I started to antidote my anger and rage with the prescribed thought therapy prayer and affirmation. As I read the words of the prayer silently and out loud that first evening, I started to tremble. I ask that you remove from me all vestiges of anger and rage and all of their forms at their deepest root and cause. You are the power in my life. Any power I have or express comes directly from you. Because you live within me, any experience or expression of anger dishonors you. Suddenly, my mind shifted. I was no longer my husband or my son's victim. I was no longer God's victim. I was God's child. God was offering me a fresh start. If I could give up my anger with my sister for leaving me and my anger at my husband and son for not being who I wanted them to be, I could begin again. The more I worked with the thought therapy energy clearing tool, whether it was the conscious breath work, the thymus thump, or the thought therapy eye movements, I could feel my energy shift inside and out. The heaviness that had plagued my spirit started to lift. I could breathe freely again. And after that first deep breath, I swore to myself that I was going to stop living in the past and I was going to live in the present moment and claim every day as a fresh start. My fresh start didn't mean that all my dramas just disappeared. They did not. But every morning and every evening when I completed the GOI thought process, I had a renewed level of energy as well as the strength to endure whatever the day brought. The thought therapy, prayer, and affirmation helped me deal with life's tests in new ways. It was miraculous to make it through the day with some peace of mind. What I noticed most was that I no longer allowed myself to take everything so personally or to get upset so quickly. And the only things I have done differently were to say a little prayer and thump my thymus. I love the thought therapy affirmation, too. Anger and rage are my enemies. I give myself permission to lovingly release all anger now. Every time I repeated the words, anger and rage are my enemies, I realized that when I was unconscious, I had made anger and rage my best friends. My greatest new awareness is that life's inevitable troubles and difficult people do not have to control my life, my joy, or my happiness. I choose to depend on God every day. My strength and my peace are in Him. On day 4 of working with the Anger Rage DNTP, the same day that I had reached the morning intensity level of 0, I had to face a difficult situation with my soon-to-be ex-husband. He came to my house and tried to force me to have sexual relations. When I refused him, he took my car in retaliation, and I had to call the police. Although the police couldn't resolve the situation because the car was in both of our names, the situation prompted me to get a restraining order. Even though I was afraid, drawing that firm boundary restored my inner peace. The thought therapy helped me manifest more courage than I ever thought I possessed. The lines of the prayer allowed me to align with the divine. Thank you, God, for the way you show up to clear, cleanse, and heal me. I ask, I allow, God becomes the healing and peace I desire. My healing? On August 3rd, I stopped worrying about my husband and my car. I purchased a new one. This was a deeply fulfilling moment for me because what the enemy had presented for my bad, God turned it around for my good. As long as I kept God first in my life and in my thoughts, and I surrendered to the Holy Spirit, life's challenges will not get the best of me. I am blessed, and my life is a blessing. Nothing and no one can deter me. Inadequacy in completeness. A $5 net worth. I have been working on financial freedom all my adult life. And while I have made good money, I've never been financially literate. When I asked Iyanla, "What do you want to get over?" my immediate answer was financial illiteracy. Due to my financial illiteracy, I was living in a situation that was increasingly unhealthy, and my relationship with a close family member was deteriorating. I could make money, and I could spend money, but in other respects, my financial ignorance had become a tax that I could no longer afford to pay. Iyanla's second question was, "What do you really want?" I understood that my money thoughts had a lot to do with what I knew and experienced about finance. Iyanla said that the thoughts that run our lives are mainly subconscious. That's why they never change. So even though I'd done lots of work around money, something was still terribly wrong with my money thoughts. I wasn't at all happy with my results. What did I want? I wanted to change my subconscious thoughts about money. I just had no map for getting to my subconscious thoughts about money. But I believed if I could learn how to reverse those thoughts, the results would be life-changing. After getting laid off from my job last spring, I decided that rather than go back to a 9-to-5 job, I was going to use my skills to create something different for myself. After all, we were no longer in the old economy. I had skills and drive and financial necessity. I had to take care of my family, my young son, my mother, and myself. Enter Iyanla's GOI focus group. When I was tapped to participate in the group for her latest spiritual technology called thought therapy, I was all in. Rather than just doing energy work or reciting prayers and affirmations, Iyanla had created a process for transmuting our hidden thought demons. First, she showed us how to identify our DNTPs. Then, she introduced us to 5 practical tools that we could use to neutralize them. If my subconscious thoughts were at the root of my financial suffering, and Iyanla was offering a new way to call them out of the darkness into the light, I was ready. As a thought therapy focus group participant, I chose 2 DNTPs, as requested, inadequacy, incompleteness, and anger rage. My showdown with inadequacy, incompleteness revealed my personal sinkhole. I followed the daily thought therapy process Iyanla outlined, which meant that I used the energy transmutation tools of conscious breathwork and thymus thump, and then recited the prayers and affirmations each morning and evening. Iyanla said that most patterns could be cleared by committing a total of 30 to 60 minutes a day, depending on whether you did the journaling session or not, in 2 to 5 daily sessions. My intuition told me that I needed to do the work for 3 weeks, even though we had to commit to only 2 weeks. Following my intuition produced the desired results because by working with this process, I was able subtly and over time to identify my subconscious thoughts of inadequacy around wealth and abundance. I began to recognize that when it comes to the energy of money, I had been afraid to stick even my big toe into the unlimited stream of wealth and abundance. Rather than fully partaking, I had been holding myself back because of the hidden core belief that I was undeserving of anything more than just what I needed. How can you claim abundance if you can commit to receiving only just enough and not $1 more? As I engaged in the thought therapy process, I realized that even with all the money work I had done over the years on abundance, lack, I still felt out of my league when it came to wealth. I discovered I still didn't have a wealth consciousness. I was wallowing in a subconscious poverty consciousness. I was reminded that when poor people come into unexpected money, they can never sustain it. As I worked with the thought therapy prayer and affirmation for inadequacy, I began to see that my thoughts and subsequent feelings were related to my sense of what value I saw attached to myself. The DNTP definition and the In Other Words section reflected my experience. You just don't measure up. Comparing yourself to others, you see what they have or are capable of and what you don't have and aren't capable of. You feel less than others, and you either highlight your shortcomings or shrink back to hide them. In the worst case scenario, you keep trying to prove to others and to yourself how great you are, even when you don't really believe it. Sometimes my DNTP's internal dialogue felt like an MP3 player stuck on permanent repeat. I never measure up. Something is wrong with me. I better not say. I just don't have what it takes. There's something missing in me. Why do I feel so incomplete? I did not feel worthless, but I just knew something had been subtracted from my total value long before I was born. Using the thought therapy journal prompts, I reflected on my literal and psycho-spiritual experiences. And because I had been an avid journaler, I used the original questions as a springboard to dive deeper into my thoughts and feelings. I wanted to see how deeply these hidden thoughts had impacted and shaped my financial reality. Even though we were asked to test Iyanla's spiritual technology for 2 weeks, I was committed to manifesting a breakthrough. I kept pressing on with the prayer and affirmation and the conscious breath work and the thymus thump and the thought therapy eye movements for an additional week because I knew my money story went way, way, way back. The more I journaled, the more I discovered how my thoughts around my family and the family's generational history affected how I saw myself. My thoughts and feelings about my so-called market value had been coded into my DNA through the stories of my mother, my mother's mother, my mother's mother's mother far beyond America and all the way back to Africa, when my ancestors' mothers had been reduced to commodities to be bought and sold. Previously, had you ever told me that it was this ancient history and not everyday 21st century inequality that determined my relationship with wealth consciousness, I would have certainly argued with you. Having our value determined by an outsider, having no say about who we were and what our value was, had impacted me just as much as it impacted my forebears. This subconscious inheritance had affected my financial literacy just as it would impact my sons if I did not heal it right here and right now. My forebears had guaranteed that future generations of our family would exist. Now, I had to ensure that my future generation, my child, had the ability to thrive. That could happen only if I was able to instill in my mind a new money consciousness, one that I could plant and nurture in his mind too. Even today, others are still determining my value. When I did a Google search for worth and black women, article after article confirmed that the average single black woman's median net worth in America was $5. Talk about dominant negative thought pattern. Identifying the specific DNTPs and using the thought therapy tools to transmute them broke through the glass ceiling that had imprisoned my mind today. My awareness of these programmed thoughts is easier to see, and I can recognize the results. I am aware that I have approached the flow of money in my life with a thimble. Thus, I was getting a thimbleful of God's limitless resources in return and trying to make myself believe that was all I deserved. After the thought therapy work, I can confront hidden fears and anything that triggers my DNTP of inadequacy that has been holding me back from manifesting what I deserve. I no longer subconsciously have to buy the collective money DNTPs that surround black women and women of color. I can define myself in a new way and create a new reality for myself. I am aware of the lesson that identifying my DNTP has shown me regarding the energy of money and how it relates to me. I found these lines from the prayer to be very empowering. In your loving presence, I declare and decree I am enough just as I am. Every thought that I am, anything other than enough, is now banished and disintegrated. Every belief that I can be less than I am now is eliminated at the deepest root and cause. Every judgment, every learning, every projection I have made about myself or against myself now disappears into the sea of forgetfulness, never to rise again. I declare and decree, I am enough just as I am. I declare and decree, I am enough because you are in me and with me. I declare and decree, I am enough just because I am. I declare and decree that these words now take shape and form as the truth of my being, and I cannot be otherwise. I am enough, and so I am. Amen and amen. I knew that inadequacy was the right DNTP for me to focus on, as opposed to working with my sense of worth, because the voice in my head was practically quoting from the internal dialogue script. I could make money, and I could work with money, but I could not make money work for me. I just couldn't measure up in terms of my financial literacy. I had never been able to see the results of money earned or spent unless it was to take care of my family's most basic needs, even though I desired more, much, much more. Iyanla told us we could read how successfully we had deprogrammed our DNTP by looking at what was showing up in our lives. I began to experience the following life reflections. Money that I could have sworn I spent was still in my bank account. Then, the registration for an online course that I wanted to take was about to close, and I was short the class fee. In my commitment to financial literacy, I refused to resort to my emergency charge card. I was disappointed but content. Then, out of the blue, a good friend called hours before the course closed to tell me that she would gift me 2 months' tuition because she was certain that with my new mindset, I would be able to create an outstanding balance too. And at the time of this writing, my mother alerted me that she had a lead on a new used car for the price of 4 tires and a water pump. But the biggest confirmation of the energetic shift that I experienced came when I took my darling science geek teenager to see a movie, Hidden Figures. The DVD liner notes described the film as the untold true story of brilliant African-American women at NASA who served as the brains that turned the tide of the American space race. It expressed to me in no uncertain terms that even when you know you have worth, you can still get tripped up if you have one or more invisible DNTPs running in the background. Fortunately, these heroic women refused to accept the inadequacy DNTP of their day, and the rest is American history. As I now explain to my son, the outer always reflects the inner, and once you deprogram your mind, there are no limits. Chapter 9, At the End of the Day. It is impossible that anything should come to me unbidden by myself. Even in this world, it is I who rule my destiny. What happens is what I desire. What does not occur is what I do not want to happen. This I must accept. Lesson 253, A Course in Miracles. Lesson 253 from A Course in Miracles may seem like a bitter pill to swallow. However, until and unless we accept and acknowledge the divine and creative power of the mind, we will remain victims of our history, experiences, judgments, false perceptions, and the DNTPs that grow from the same. You are the only one who gets to say what goes on in your life. It begins with the thoughts you entertain and engage in on a moment-by-moment basis. I learned this the hard way, through great physical suffering and emotional turmoil. I learned this by accepting and acknowledging my personal power after I became aware of the creative energy of my mind. If a thought could create a car, an airplane, a multi-million-dollar corporation, or a computer, why couldn't I use my mind to create peace in my day and prosperity in my purse? There was absolutely no reason other than the way I thought about what I thought about. People don't do anything unless there is a reward or a benefit attached to it. No matter how good your offer may be, it's got to be a better deal than the one they already have on the table, advised one of my favorite teachers. I hope I can persuade you to take me up on my offer of thought therapy. It's a much better deal than suffering. Many of the people who come to my classes and workshops believe that they are ready to begin the process of getting over what they have experienced. Yet, they are totally unaware and resistant to accepting any responsibility for their lives. They remain hell-bent on blaming others and projecting their emotions outward rather than acknowledging that their ongoing unconscious behavior has set them up for either a monumental breakdown or a major breakthrough. When it comes to making a choice between embracing what we have experienced as a stepping stone to a higher way of being or numbing ourselves to our thoughts and feelings and living in a permanent state of self-righteous suffering, many people still vote to sleepwalk. At the end of the day, the only thing that has put many of us on the healing path was the final awareness that if we didn't change, nothing else would change. Are you at that point yet? Do you know that you are the thing that must change if you want to have different and better experiences in your life? Think of it this way. The experiences you are having right now, in every aspect of your life are mirror reflections of your dominant negative thought patterns. Wherever you sense darkness, pain, confusion, or suffering, that's an area in which a pattern of thinking is being reflected back to you. If things are not as you would have them be in a certain area of your life, whether it's relationships, finances, career, health, or self-satisfaction, a mental file is blocking the light from that area of your soul. Have you acknowledged that it's possible for you to block your own goodness and greatness? Are you aware of your blocks? Can you accept that you consciously or unconsciously have caused your own pain and suffering? Are you finally willing to act to employ a new method for getting out of your own way? I invite you to avoid the temptation to receive these inquiries as a form of blame or self-condemnation. Instead, recognize from all you have read thus far that getting stuck in the negative aspects of life is a very common human experience because of the way we are taught to use the power of our minds. As children, we do what we are told and we mimic what we see. Our education system teaches us to memorize and repeat what others have said and done, placing the opinion of others above our own intuitive sense of what is good and right for our own authentic self-expression. In the world around us, in order to be accepted and validated, we are expected to toe the lines that others have created. Our successes and accomplishments are measured by what others think and say about who we are and what we have or have not done. Throughout the process of living, growing, learning, and doing, we often lose sight of what it means to be human in loving and authentic ways. Getting over anything, whether it's a broken relationship or a childhood trauma, begins with a thought. Getting through what you desire to get through requires committed and consistent action. That's the truth of thought therapy. The thought therapy process is not a magic bullet. It's a self-honoring, self-supportive, self-loving way of tapping into the power of your greatest asset, your mind. It's a process for reclaiming your identity and using it to the best of your ability to eliminate personal suffering, restriction, and limitation at all levels of your being. As the legendary Reverend Johnny Coleman, founder of Chicago's Christ Universal Temple and Universal Foundation for Better Living, taught her students, you are the thinker that thinks the thought that makes the thing. Everything begins in the mind, and if it begins in the mind, whatever the effects are in your world, life, and affairs, you must find the cause. There's a cause for every effect. You've got to think the right thoughts, because every thought comes back to you. Whatever you think, you have made it. Today, more than ever before, it's time to do this work. Too many of us have been led astray, disappointed, let down, and in the worst case scenarios, betrayed by the do this, get that systems of the world. On the other hand, way too many of us are stuck wondering why it seems that the more we do, the less we get or have in our lives. May I offer this? This is not that. This is not about doing something in order to get anything. This work is not a bargaining system. The GOI thought therapy process and the supporting prayers and affirmations is about being and becoming the truth of who you are. It's about transformation, doing the work required to achieve your desired result. This very sacred work is about transforming your thoughts and your attitudes about your thoughts in order to become a more productive co-creator with the source and creator of your life. Think of it this way. You get to choose. You can be a 40-watt bulb, barely glowing, trying to find your way through repetitive chaos, crisis, and confusion, or you can be a lighthouse, radiating waves of brilliant light that will guide you and others to safer, calmer, more loving and gentler shores. You can stay tangled in the mess of wires and filaments that you either inherited or picked up, then filed away, or you can untangle and unhook yourself from what has always been so that you can align yourself with the possibilities of what you can create with the right thoughts. The choice, beloved, is yours. It's time to do your thought therapy work because, to quote Dr. Coleman's lifelong mantra, it works if you work it. I'll meet you in the file room. Blessings and gratitude. There are simply no words that can adequately express my depths of gratitude for the life I've been graced to live as a woman, mother, teacher, minister, and student. I never would have made it this far without God's grace, mercy, and love. And because of God's love, I've been loved and supported by countless numbers of incredible people. I call them my angels. The loving support of those angels is the reason that this book has come to life. Among them, first and foremost, is my editor and wordsmith, Cheryl Woodruff. You have been the wind and my wings on this one. I thank you. Amasi Wilcox and Helen Jones, there simply are no words. Miss Gina Marshall, my rainmaker, thank you for giving me a good reason to buy a new umbrella. Miss Christine Mills, I cannot believe that I've never laid eyes on you, and you still got it all done brilliantly. Miss Nora Richard, our extraordinary line-by-line master, who, though tempted, never gave up on us. Miss Cindy Shaw, for yet another beautiful interior design. Miss Kirsten Melvie, a.k.a. my assistant, you are my calm in the storm. Sir Rodney Scott, my manager, driver, social secretary, and gatekeeper, you are simply the best. Kenneth Browning, my attorney and friend of 25-plus years, without you, none of this would have been birthed. Julie Groom, who has mastered the art of hunting me down when Ken Browning is looking for me. Angie Lyle, my social media postmaster and her team. Reed Tracy and the Hay House family, with a special shout-out to Perry Crow, Rochelle Fredson, and Nicolette Young, for always and in always being willing to support me as well as the work I do. The Inner Visions family, whose prayers have lifted me higher, Reverend Carmen Gonzalez, Reverend Olabumi Irene Robinson, Reverend Lydia Ruiz, Reverend Tammy Manley, Reverend Elise Welch, Reverend Nancy Yates, Reverend Pamela Bryant, Reverend Karen Burns, Reverend Joanne Lee, Reverend Yawo Heather Mizell, Reverend Rosetta Hillary, Reverend Amina Christine Piera, Reverend Candace Ifama Barnes, Reverend Matt Cartwright, Reverend Lynn Barber, Reverend Peter Ripley, Reverend Yolanda, Reverend Patty Hamilton, and coaches Jackie Smith, Robert Pruitt, Althea Danzi, Urshel Williams, Marquita Eliza, Monica Brigandi, and all of my IVISD students. The Inner Visions God Squad, my workshop team, which includes many of those above, as well as Ia Yafa Shakur, Danny Stilwell, Janet Barber, Charlotte Wilson, Deanna Mathias, and Sydney Beasley. I owe my sanity to my BFF and sister friend for life, Reverend Shahira Stevens, to my prayer mother, Raina Bundy, and to my godfather, Professor Oshunkunle Erendele, my godchildren, members of the Ileomi Meiji, who never lose faith in me, Aldo Valman Clark, Ronald King Shepherd, Agdebola Nobles, Dr. Akmam Wakil, Kimberly Perry, Reverend LaTanya Taylor, LaToya Smith, Marcy Francis, Seshmi Carol Small, and Zakia Fatin. I owe the life of my vision my dream come true. To Oprah Winfrey, my sister woman. John Sinclair, my co-executive producer on Iyanla Fix My Life. And Paul Harrison. And the technical dream team, Red, Champ, Rodney, Monroe, and Mr. George. Sheikha, I did not forget you. Or you, Minister Laura Rawlings, Dr. Denora Nieves, and Eduardo Reed. Finally, to my children who have given me permission to mother in the world without ever complaining. Damon, beware Van Zandt. His wife, Siobhan Kells Van Zandt, and Yawonisa Van Zandt, thank you for allowing me to be who I am. To all of you, I lift my voice with praise and thanksgiving. To God be the glory.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.